You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez, a tireless advocate for Stockton's unhoused community and a man who dedicated his life and career helping those experiencing homelessness. That's how family, friends, and colleagues are remembering Bill Mendelson, who passed away earlier this month at the age of 74. Bill's advocacy spanned more than three decades, overseeing the construction of the Stockton Shelter for the Homeless, which still exists today. Throughout his career, he's credited for creating and expanding housing programs that have helped thousands of people move off the streets. In 1999, Bill moved over to the Central Valley Low Income Housing Corporation, a position he held until 2021, and continued his advocacy for the homeless community up until the day he passed. One of his children, John Mendelson, joins us to talk about his father's life and advocacy in the Central Valley. John, welcome to Insight. Condolences to you and your family.
Thank you. It's appreciated, but it's a pleasure to be here today and share a little bit about what my dad meant to us personally, but also to the community of Stockton and San Joaquin County.
Yeah, an invaluable contribution spanning decades. I mean, your father was known as a tireless advocate for Stockton's unhoused community. I guess I want to start, how do you tell us about him as a person and as a father?
As a person, he was as devoted and dedicated as he was as a professional. He was the type of person who could be depended on 100%. If you needed something, he would be there, drop whatever it was, even at personal expense, and help you or do what he could for you. And it wasn't just that he could respond in that way selflessly and tirelessly, but he was also somebody who tried to really anticipate the needs of those around him. I know that my sister and myself, my mother, we certainly saw that on a day-to-day basis, year over year, just how much he really did for us. It tops, actually, I feel like, what he did for the community, and I feel very fortunate to have had him in my life as a father. But it was also a real joy to work for him, then work with him, and then have him work for me, and have him as a mentor and a professional partner.
Yeah, you carried in your father's footsteps. And you know, what he devoted his career to isn't just a career, it was a passion. It's something that you don't like turn the lights off and check out, you know, when he carried it throughout his life. Where did that start from? Where did his passion for helping those experiencing homelessness begin?
So he was definitely a public servant his entire life. I think he felt a real personal connection to it. Growing up with a single mom and three siblings in the 50s, maybe experiencing some, you know, housing insecurity. I think that really gave him a personal connection to wanting to help other people. He always wanted to make sure if he had enough that other people also were going to have enough and have opportunity. He really believed that everybody needed an opportunity for a home, that people needed the opportunity to succeed and thrive and to be safe. And so, I mean, before he worked in the homeless sector, he was a teacher, and then he got into working in the homeless field in the early and mid-80s in Stockton and San Joaquin County before that it was really on the radar of a lot of other people. He and a few other people in Stockton, like Reverend Bob Green, Reverend Ignatius DeGroot, they started Stockton Metro Ministries, and that really was the genesis of Stockton Shelter for the Homeless, building the new shelter. Well, it was the new shelter then. It's been in existence for probably about 20-something years now at its current location, and it's, by bed count, one of the largest shelters in the state, believe it or not. But he realized working with people who are in and out of the shelter that while shelter is really important, especially from a humanitarian aspect, shelter itself doesn't end homelessness. Housing ends homelessness. That's something he realized back in the early 90s, again, before a lot of people were even really considering this on the scale that they do now. And so he was able to secure some federal funding by working with a couple of dedicated people at San Joaquin County that created the first permanent housing and permanent supportive housing programs in Stockton and San Joaquin County. And some of those programs we're still operating as an agency in partnership with the county today. And we're trying to expand on that because, as he recognized then, it's housing that really ends homelessness. You can see throughout the country that things that often get blamed for or homelessness or assigned as causes of homelessness, severe mental illness, substance use and abuse, those rates are pretty stable across the country, community to community. But homelessness is not. Homelessness is concentrated in areas of the country, areas of the state where housing is the least affordable. And yes, that we need to be responsive and supportive to people with severe needs and issues in their life, that does make it more likely that they're going to experience housing instability. But it's really housing that is the key. And that's something that he's been working his entire life toward, is the expansion of permanent housing opportunities for people who are homeless.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm learning from you is that he was just ahead of his time, you know, because I think across the state in California, we're now confronted with this crisis. We have a record number of people who are unhoused. How do you think that San Joaquin County and its response to those experiencing homelessness would have been different if your father wasn't around? Because a lot of it is building relationships, right?
A lot of it is building relationships, but he also did a lot of the behind-the-scenes work that made any response at all possible. I mean, it's very hard and thankless work sometimes, you know, when you're working with people on a day-to-day basis and trying to get people from a position where they're living unsheltered into a shelter and into housing. But it's even more thankless in a way to do the real behind-the-scenes work that makes programs possible. Dealing with the federal government and its Byzantine regulations, the audits, the monitoring, the bureaucracy that comes with making sure there are resources actually available to provide housing support, to provide services, to make sure that there are people to establish those real vital one-on-one relationships that can help people lift themselves up. He was an expert at navigating those regulations, those rules. He's forgotten more about that than I'll probably ever know, to be quite frank. And yeah, he could always be relied upon to guide individual programs, service providers, but also to help guide people at organizations like San Joaquin County, City of Stockton. He was just a deep repository of institutional knowledge. And I think without a lot of his efforts, we would be even further behind than we are now. I think our response now is really catching up to where it should be. Not only dedicated service providers in our community, but San Joaquin County and City of Stockton are really putting a lot of effort and thought and resources into this issue. But I think my father was definitely there and thinking about this on a level, as you said, that was ahead of his time. And certainly he loved working to set those conditions up so that actual work in progress could be made.
Are there any anecdotes or moments in your father's work that you've been reflecting on in the weeks following his passing?
Absolutely. I mean, it can be difficult work what he dedicated his life to. And I mean, there would be individuals who would get in front of local boards of government and complain about what he was doing, or maybe, you know, saying, you know, some off the wall things. And those people who were presenting those arguments to local government boards at the same time didn't realize that they were receiving subsidized housing that was being paid for because of all my father's work. And my father made a point so that those people didn't necessarily know that they were receiving the help that they needed from his work, because to him, it was more important that people had housing and had opportunity than he was highly regarded or that he even got credit for what he was doing. It was really the people and their opportunity that mattered to him. And I think about his dedication as well. I mean, he had a stage 4 cancer diagnosis. And the week before he passed, he was still driving himself into the office.
Wow.
The week before he passed, I'm sitting with him and he starts talking about work and some federal reporting that we need to do and assist some other recipients on. And I say, Dad, you know, we can talk about anything. We've you know, done things together and I've had a great time with you and I'd want to talk about anything. And he says, no, this is what I want to talk about. I want to be useful. And I think that he was just so much more than useful. He was absolutely essential to what we've done as a community, and even more than that, to those of us who were closest to him and who really loved him.
Yeah, I'm just sure that you and your family have heard or received an outpouring of stories about your father since his passing that just really shed more light on you obviously know who he was, but his impact on strangers and other people.
Yeah, the response has been overwhelming at times, but it's been really wonderful to see how many people he touched, because that's ultimately what he wanted to do. He would go out of his way to do little things for other people, not just people who were assisted by his program, but people he worked with, people who worked for him. Just the number of people who have reached out to say that he wasn't just somebody who made a difference in the community, but made a real difference to them and impacted their life has been really, truly touching.
Hmm. You know, given that for years or decades, he really advocated for the response to the homelessness crisis on so many levels, as I'm learning from you, local, state, federal, to improve and expand. But as we know, this crisis has just escalated over the decades. And in recent years, resources are failing to keep up with demand. What kept your father going, keeping his pace or sticking with it, must have been multiple points of frustration for him?
I think it's because he saw that even if a system-wide response was maybe falling behind the need, what he was doing, the programs he was running, were still making a real difference in the lives of individual families, individual people. I mean, at any one time, at least one of the permanent supportive housing programs that our agency runs for chronically homeless individuals can house up to 240 households at a time. And those are all people or families who are disabled, were long-term homeless before they were helped into housing. And now in that program, at least more than 65% of those households have been stabilized in housing for more than 5 years. And these are some of the people that you'd look around on the street and some folks would say they're the hardest to help into housing. Hmm. He saw on a day-to-day basis that you could have success, and we did have success, and we continue to have it. It's just that over the years, the affordability of housing has declined more rapidly than we've been able to develop housing that's affordable. And so that was really one of the focuses of the last couple of years that we worked together, was establishing more actual physical housing programs, building or renovating units of housing that could be affordable to people who are exiting homelessness, because that's really part of the key in addressing this issue going forward. And he recognized that, you know, again, back in the 80s and 90s, it was pulling papers out. A proposal he wrote in the early 90s says, you know, everyone deserves a home. And I still believe that today.
Yeah. And you are now the executive director of the Central Valley Low-Income Housing Corps and previously worked at San Joaquin's continuum of care. Mm-hmm. And there are several continuums of care across the state. What made you want to follow in your father's footsteps?
Honestly, growing up around what he's done with the Stockton shelter, working on the issue of homelessness, has honestly been really inspiring. And I felt that I had a good life being brought up. I've always had my needs taken care of. And the idea that you can use, you know, some of your talent to try to help other people who maybe have not had the same opportunity, to me, is really important, because I saw the impact that my father has had throughout his life, and the impact that the people he's worked with have had. And despite the struggles, despite the sometimes desire to slip into cynicism about how difficult it can be to work with certain systems, the fact that there are victories and you really do make a difference in people's lives. And I'm really honored that I get a chance to continue the work that he has done. They're incredibly large shoes to fill, but luckily there are a lot of people in our community who are dedicated to this work, and so I'm hopeful for the future.
Yeah, his legacy is going to continue for decades and decades on. John, thank you so much for talking to us about your father.
Thank you for allowing me to share a little bit about a man who really was quite special to me and to my family.
John Mendelson is the executive director of the Central Valley Low-Income Housing Corps. remembering his late father, Bill Mendelsohn, and his legacy as a homelessness advocate in the Central Valley. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.